Welcome to this inspiring message brought to you by Kingsword Media Outreach, a part of Kingsword Ministries International. We hope this teaching inspires you and transforms you into all that God has destined you to be. Please stay tuned for more information about Kingsword Ministries International following this message. May God bless you as you listen. Thank you, Jesus. John 1:1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Let me stop there for a minute. Tonight, I sent my spirit to talk to you about the Word and the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, "In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory." Every time you see the Word of God, every time, what I mean by see the Word is not the reading of Scripture. It is the revelation of Christ that comes to you from the reading of Scripture. So every time you see the Word, the Spirit follows the Word. Every time you come in contact with the Word of truth, it says, when you heard the Word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and then you believed in Him. So you know right there that if it were talking about an it, Scripture would have said you believed it. But it said you heard the word of truth. So I'm talking to you, and then you are hearing the word of truth. The proof
that you believe the word of truth, follow me carefully, is that it becomes a person. So it translates from you saying that I heard what pastor said to I saw what pastor said. Because the word needs to become flesh so that we can behold the glory. So as I'm talking to you, teaching you the word, that word, for it to profit you, it has to become him. It has to become what you can behold. It has to go beyond the letters. So as I'm talking to you, you need to, I say this a lot, that whenever I teach and preach, I want people to see beyond the words I'm saying. And most times I go further to say that don't write what I'm saying, write what I'm not saying. Write what I'm not saying that you are seeing. Because what I'm not saying that you are seeing is actually what you're supposed to see. And that's what I'm driving at. So in every conversation of the word, it goes beyond the letter to him, the Christ, the revealed one. So every time the word of truth is being preached, every time the message of the cross, the message of the gospel is being preached, beyond the letters, there is a him that you and I must behold. Through the hearing and listening of the teaching of that word. It says, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and believed in him. And then John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. In him, he was in the beginning with God. So, talking about the word and then didn't refer to an it, but a him, a person, a personality. Then all things were made through him, not through it. So if you think that once I get a hold of scripture, I do confess a lot. I like to confess scriptures and all that. But the end goal of the confession of scripture is so that it becomes him. It becomes him. So when it becomes him, that's when transformation comes. That's when you evolve. When it becomes him, not in the state that it is. So all things were made not through it, but through him. The Bible says that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. By faith, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God. So we are the ones that understood it by faith. So he said, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So it means that if whatever I want to make in my life, whatever it is that I want to make, as I begin to embrace the word, as I begin to meditate on the word, for that thing to be made, it has to become him. For that thing to come alive, for it to materialize, for it to find full expression, it has to become him. So it means that my meditation on scripture, my devotion in prayer, my study of the word, my quiet time and all those moments, spiritual things that I do, it's designed to bring me to a place where I see him. So the moment I see him, then things begin to happen. So what I am seeing has gone beyond words to a person. He said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So the light of men was not just the light of men. It is the life that he carries that lights men up. Then he says the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness has not overcome it. You know, God knows the end from the beginning. Everything. He knows it from the very beginning. So Hebrews 1 and verse 1 says, in the New Living Translation, it says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. He said, God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. So everything culminates to the person of Jesus. Everything culminates to him. So when you're making those confessions and you're making those declarations, realize that the purpose of the declaration is not just to count the score that I've confessed today. No. It is to bring you to a place that in that confession you are seeing him. Because until you behold him, nothing changes. Because he is the completeness of all things. He's the one that completes everything. He completes everything. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 7. First John 5, 7. Say, for there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And what is that testimony? He said, and this is the testimony that God gave us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. So there is no way you can separate the Son and the Word. There's no way you can separate it. If everything you do as a child of God does not bring you to the place where you are seeing Christ, then it's mere exercise. It's mere religious practice. It's mere religious practice. He said, this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. So when you have the Son, you have that life. You have that life. So my goal as a child of God, my goal as a believer, is that I aim for the Son. God, who in diverse times and in different ways spoke to us through the prophets. Right now, he's channeling everything to his Son, Jesus Christ. And telling you and I that behold the Son. That let your prayer time lead you to the Son. Let your study of scripture time lead you to the Son. Let your fasting lead you to the Son. Behold the Son. He's the Word. And that's the Word that gives life. He said, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So the life that I'm looking for, the life you and I are looking for, is hidden in the Son. is hidden in the Son. It's hidden in the Son. Go to verse 14 of Ephesians 1. When he talked about us being sealed in verse 13 with the Holy Spirit, he said, now who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory? So the Holy Spirit comes to guarantee you that there is a sure promise, a possession that you and I are supposed to come into. But you can't bypass the Son and then say, it's Holy Spirit and I that we're pals. No. No. You can't bypass it. Second Timothy 3 and verse 16. Bible in basic English. It says, every holy writing which comes from God is of profit for teaching, for training, for guide, for education in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, trained and made ready for every good work. This is how NIV puts it. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So when you read scripture and you see that scripture is God's breath, so what you are looking for is not the writing, it's the breath of God, the life that flows from it. That's what you're looking for. So beyond the letters, you're looking for that breath of God that gives life. That's what we call Rhema. That's what we call revelation. It's not the one that you read and say, oh, no, that is there, but that must bring life. Not just, what? No. Yeah, that's what some people do. What? Don't leave me. Leave it to where? That we're talking about the life that will flow from it. If the life does not come, they will leave you. But the life has to flow. So when you ask, when people who have difficulty studying scripture, it's because they are not encountering the Son. If you are encountering life in the scriptures, you will want to eat every day. You'll be hungry for it. Because you are not counting score. You are seeing beyond letters. There's something happening on your inside. It says, they that must come to God must worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. You can't do spirit and truth if you are all about letters. No. There must be something happening to you on the inside. That as you are reading it, life is coming to you. It's God breathed. So it's that breath you are looking for. Because he who has the Son has life. So every time you study, every time you engage the Word, you are looking for life. You are looking for life. That life should flow in you, in the different aspects of what you are involved in. Life would flow in the different aspects. Someone say, I'm looking for life. Luke chapter 5, from verse 1. The New Living Translation. It says, one day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again And this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were all amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. He said, from now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. You see, you can't catch life and go about your life normal. You cannot. It changes you from the inside. It changes you. They were fishermen. They encountered life. Listen, they were fishermen. They encountered life. They left their fishing to follow Jesus. He said they left everything to follow him. Wouldn't it have been better if they said, "Oh, you know what? Ah, we've caught this revelation. And then we have more fishes. We can just open a fish factory or a fish business," right? Doesn't that make sense? That makes sense, but it doesn't make spirit. You don't walk by your senses. You walk by the Spirit. So when the Word comes to you, and the Word brings life in certain things, you don't conclude immediately that, that's the way to go. No, you follow the sound of the Spirit. Because what the word came to bring is not to make them catch fish. No, it's to make them catch men. So through the Spirit, they were able to see that we are not following the result of the fish. We are following the result of man. So through that act, they saw Christ. What am I trying to say? Many a times we read scriptures, and then through scriptures we see a breakthrough, we see an increase, we see the manifestation of something, and then all of a sudden we have just become that thing. Instead of identifying with the Christ that we saw through the scripture that led to the breakthrough in the business, then all of a sudden you become a businessman. That God gave you a business idea, one, doesn't mean you should quit your job and go into business. No. Through the scripture, you saw the Christ. When you follow the Christ, you won't have to start disturbing yourself. "Oh, now that I've gotten this revelation, let me just go into fishery. Now that I've gotten this revelation, let me go into garri selling." You keep following the one. So they got that revelation. But that revelation was not the thing. The Christ himself was the thing. He says, "He that has the Son has life." So they were not after the fact that, "Look, we can open a fish factory." No, they were after the fact that, "Yes, we've gotten revelation. And that revelation brought this fish factory. But we are following the Son. So we left everything to follow the Son. Because he that has the Son has life. He that has fish factory has fish." He that has fish factory has fish. But he that has the Son has life. Fish will finish, but the Son never runs dry. It will finish one day, but the Son never. So they were wise to know that is the Word and the Spirit. They were wise to know that, hey, some things are temporal, but he that has the Son has life. He that has the Son has life. And that's where you and I aim at. We keep chasing after that. Glory to God. Luke chapter 18. Luke 18 and verse 35. You see, as he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight. And what? Come on, talk to me. And what? Glorifying God and all the people. When they saw it, give praise to God. The revelation came. He received his healing. But that was not the goal. The goal was to follow the Son. The goal was to follow Christ. That's why many times you find people, believers, children of God, Christians, the reason they are going after God is so that they will just get that breakthrough. And once they've gotten the breakthrough, you can't find them in church anymore. You can't find them anywhere. Ah. Rasikiru. Ah. You haven't been in church in the last 2 months.
Pastor, you know, this business has just been taking me. His tone has changed all over, you know. I just came back from the airport and I'll see if I can make it this Sunday. I will check my schedule. In fact, let me cover my BA.
I mean, all of a sudden, that's not the goal. That's not the goal. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. God, if you can do it, and then the pastor comes and prays and screams and prophesies, and then all of a sudden, boom, there's a breakthrough. And then the next thing, you're not following the Son. Immediately he recovered his sight. He followed him. He that has the Son has life. You can't trade the Son for anything. No. No matter how busy you get, no matter how the length and breadth your business takes you, let me tell you something. God taught me a principle a long time ago, and it has really helped me. I shared it here before. I was bothered about something. So I asked the Lord, why is it that certain people seem to be doing well? Alright, they come to church, they seem to be doing well. Maybe they weren't doing okay before, then somehow they started doing well. Then they got too busy for God, and then they stepped out, and you hardly find them among the things of God. And then the Lord, I said to God that it's a concern for me, because it makes me feel like I'm cheated. So I'm here serving God, and then someone else, you know, probably just gets some breakthrough, and then you can't find him anywhere anymore in the service of God. And then God said to me, he said, there's something called the residue of the anointing. Depending on the level of that residue, if I take a foam and I soak it in water, depending on the size of the foam, I can hold that foam and it will continue to drip till I get to YKC, right? And then God explained to me, he said, that's what happened to Adam. He said, when I said that the day you eat of this fruit, you die. He said, Adam died that day. I said, but God, he was still existing. He said, the level of glory and anointing upon him is what sustained him that long. When God drops his glory on you, that glory has a time that it will last. If you no longer stay connected. So it's like you soak yourself in water and then you're happy that, for the next 5 years, I'll remain wet. It's a lie. Just keep walking. When sun comes out, one day it will dry up. Am I correct? So if you have, God gives you a breakthrough and you get $1 billion. You know, $1 billion can finish in a day. But if you now apply some wisdom, apply some diligence, some financial management skills, investment, that $1 billion can last for 30 years. But if the day you got the billion is the day you disconnected from God, it will only take you that long. The day it dries up is not the day God left you, or not the day you left God. The day it dried up was the day you left God. So it can take you 10 years to exhaust the 1 billion, and you will still think that God is with me because things are happening around you. What he has left is. So it only took that long for that glory to dissipate. That is why people who leave the faith or disconnect from God because of a little world or a little, just watch them. After a while, it may take them 10 years, but after a while, they will know that Ichabod, the glory, has departed. But the day it departed was not the day their money finished or the breakthrough that they had finished. No, it wasn't that day. It was the day they departed from him. It was that day. So when God said to Adam, the day you eat of this, you die. That day he died. He was separated from him. And then what the Lord said to me is that what he meant by that is that the day you eat of this, you begin to die. So death is a process. Death doesn't just happen. No, it's a process. You begin to die. You begin to die. Because you've disconnected from the Son. He that has the Son has life. You cannot separate the life from the Son. No matter where I go, what I do, no matter the heights that God takes me, when I come before him, I lay prostrate and say, Father, what do I have that you have not given to me? What do I have that is not yours in the first place? Where have I gotten that you're not the one that took me there? Far be it from me to think that my power and my arm brought me this strength. No. Everything I have is yours. He that has the Son has life. The moment you disconnect from the Son, you disconnect from life. So he left everything and then he followed him. Luke chapter 19 from verse 1, we see also the story of Zacchaeus. From verse 1, he said he entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not. Because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him. For he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. You cannot encounter the Son and life not happen to you. It's absolutely impossible. absolutely impossible. So whatever you're chasing, Zacchaeus was rich. He was rich. And if the Bible says somebody was rich, oh boy, he was rich. When God sends his word, that word is meant to give life. It's meant to give life. And the Son is that word. When you embrace the Son, you embrace life. He that has the Son has life. Don't let anybody threaten you with where you are. Are you hearing me? Once you have the Son, it's only a matter of time. Everything around you will change. He that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life, though he is alive. Though he is alive, he doesn't have life. Only a matter of time. Stand to your feet. Don't let anyone bamboozle you. God has got your best interest at heart. Your best interest at heart. Nobody can talk you down. Nobody can whitewash you with anything. Oh, you've been serving God for this and that. What has come out of it? He that has the Son has life. Oh, we know what's going on. If I were you, I would do this. Or you, I would do that. He that has the Son has life. Lift your hands to him. And say with your mouth, I have the Son. Come and say boldly, I have the Son. And I have life. I have the Son. And I have life. Say it like you mean it. I have the Son and I have life. I'm not confused. I'm not ashamed. I have the Son and I have life. Lift your hands to him. Father, thank you for giving us the Son. Thank you for giving Jesus to us. That we may know that we have eternal life. Precious Father, let this revelation, let this reality dawn on us every day of our lives. Help us, Father, so that we are not swayed by the circumstances of life, but to embrace the reality of your Son. And everything that he represents. Let this revelation dwell in our hearts, Father. And let it bring us to a place where we keep on beholding the Father. Beholding the Son. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Come and celebrate Jesus.
The preceding message was brought to you by Kingsword Ministries International. For information about Kingsword Ministries, visit us at kingsword.org for information and additional resources. Thank you for listening to this message. And remember, where the word of a king is, there's power.